If you will pick up the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you excuse me real quickly. Forgive me, please. I still have those sniffles from, it's been 4 weeks now that I was ill and trying to recover from it. But, you know, that congestion just hangs on there. Amen. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you have it this morning, if you'd be willing to stand with me as we read God's word, just out of respect and reverence for the inerrant word. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I'm going to read this morning the first 14 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you look with me, the very first verse of Ecclesiastes 12, okay, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and the desire shall fail, because men goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words of that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goods and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we, as always, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to come before us. And Lord God, as we begin our first day of the week, Lord God, we've gathered together for praise and worship of you and your name, Lord God, glorification of you and who you are, Lord God, and in hymn and song, and Father, now in the preaching of your word. And Father, we just pray that you'd be exalted. We pray that your spirit would have liberty to speak to our hearts, Lord God. Father, we've not come so that we can simply fill a position in a seat this morning. Lord God, we've come to receive. Heavenly Father, we're begging to hear from you this morning. And we know, Lord God, you will not let us down. Lord God, if we've come to receive, there will be much to receive. So Lord God Almighty, pour your spirit out upon us this morning. And Lord, please, even in spite of myself and in the infallibilities in which I hold, will you bless the preaching of your word as we give you all the honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, if you were asked, do you have a house or a home? I would hope that your answer would be, well, I have a home. But how many actually ponder what the difference is and therefore concentrate on creating it as a difference? Mr. Webster defines a house as, in a general sense, a building or a shed intended or used as a habitation or shelter for the edifice of the human mankind. He goes on to say a dwelling place, mansion, or abode for any of the human species. It may be of any size and composed of any materials, whether wood, stone, brick, etc. It's a house. He defines a home in a very similar way. He defines a home as a close place or a place to rest, a dwelling house, a house or a place in which one resides. Well, they're very similar. It seems as though there's little difference. But he then adds a subnote in his definition. And it is that subnote that I would like to launch from this morning. Mr. Webster wrote in his definition, in his 1828 dictionary, a subnote. And that subnote reads this: home is the sacred refuge of our life. That would be different than a house. A home is a secret refuge of our life. See, many structures can be a habitation for man, but a home is intended to be a refuge of our life. Home is where our story of life begins. Home is as well our story of life as it plays out. I mean, think about this. A home is a starting place of love, hope, and dreams. Much of that begins in a home. One has been heard to say the magic thing about home is that it feels good to leave, but it feels even better to come home. That's my retreat. It's my refuge of life. An anonymous writer once said, home is where love resides, memories are created, friends always belong, and laughter never ends. A home, not just a house, but a home. A house is made of bricks and beams. A home is made of hopes and dreams. Once again, a home is a place you grow up wanting to leave and you grow old wanting to get back to. Home. I know often when my children first began to leave our home and they would return after their adventures, they'd come home, they'd sit down on a sofa or a chair, you'd hear a deep sigh and take a deep breath. They'd look up and they'd say, it's good to be home. Folks, we all have heard the saying, there's no place like home. But I want to take a few moments this morning quickly and submit to you a question. Just a basic question. But you see, in our day and age, chaos, disconnect, busyness and shuffle, contention and discontent. Could we honestly say we have a home? Or do we simply have a house or a structure in which we reside? And the yet more important question that I'd like to drill down on this morning is, what actually makes the difference? I would hope that you reside in a home this morning, a refuge of life, a place in which you retreat to. But you know, there is a difference, obviously, by definition of a home and house. But friend, there's a major difference in what makes a house a home. And I'd like to take just a few moments this morning and just touch on something that we all know in knowledge. But I wonder, in the busyness of life, the chaos many times that takes place day to day, the stress and the struggles, the bills and the burdens, I wonder how many have allowed their home to simply become a house, just a structure in which they dwell. If you'd lend me your attentiveness for the next few moments this morning, I'd like to preach a message I've titled, A House of Havoc or a Heavenly Healthy Home? Which do you have? Is it a house of havoc or a heavenly healthy home? Now, I searched hard to find scripture that would address my heart this morning. I must admit, although the Bible speaks of many different applicable aspects of how to, in principle, establish that refuge of our lives that we call home, few passages actually speak of, watch this, the chaos that we've created in our modern day that many call a home, but in reality are simply dwelling in a place of contention and chaos, confusion and calamity. It's just become a house. Neighbor, we are God's children. And for the love of our God, our home should display that we are God's children. What makes a house a home? What are the differences? What can we nail down as the specificities that distinguish the difference between a structure that we reside in or a home in which is our refuge? I think the first thing that obviously we can look at and kind of decipher is a refuge shelter. A refuge shelter. Now, what do I mean by that? Mr. Webster identified a home as a refuge of our lives, yes? Now, I would ask you to stop for a moment and honestly ponder, what exactly does that mean? The word refuge is defined as this: shelter or protection from danger or distress. That which shelters or protects from danger, distress, or calamity. A stronghold which protects by its strength, or its sanctuary which secures safety by its sacredness. He goes on to say, Mrs. Swift, any place inaccessible to an enemy. Wow. Think about that for a moment. Let that by definition set into your mind as well as your heart this morning. A shelter of protection from danger or distress. A sanctuary which secures safety by its sacredness. Any place inaccessible to an enemy. Who is our ultimate enemy? Well, we realize our ultimate enemy is the devil, right? Is he inaccessible to your home? Do you put up barriers? Barricades, if you will, blockades, so that your enemy is inaccessible to your home? It is apparent, listen, the world can be a cruel and stressful place. Unfortunately, we all must go out and enter into that jungle every day. My question to you and myself as well this morning, as I begin to unpack this thought this morning concerning making my house an actual healthy heavenly home, is this: have we made our home a refuge shelter from the stresses and distresses of that cruel world? World can be brutal. We all know what it's like to have a bad day. It just seems like nothing can go right. The market just seems like no matter what I do, no matter what I try, no matter what effort I make, everything just falls on its face. I'm having a bad day. But you know, it always seems to get a little better. Or it's almost like a sigh of relief when I can make it home and I can walk into my refuge and I can sit down and say, oh. Brother Swift, I imagine the stress that they keep you under, sir. There's probably many days where you get off of that flight, you return back home, you walk in, you just sit down in a chair and you say, honey, it's good to be home. It's a refuge. It's intended to be, watch this, a refuge shelter. Or do we retreat each evening to a place of yelling, fighting? I mean, the kids are screaming at each other. My wife or my husband screaming at me, the dogs barking, the cats running through the house, the television's on high volume with some violent movie scene, the teenagers' music's blaring from their room, the house is unclean, the dirty dishes are piled up in the sink, the door's hanging wide open. And listen, this is my refuge. That's a symbol of chaos. I walk into yet more stress. I walk into chaos. Friend, that's not a refuge. That's not a place in which we can retreat to. That's a place that we walk into and we deal with. Where is God in all of that? Is my house a home? I mean, when there's chaos and there's confusion, there's yelling, there's screaming, there's constant contention. Listen, that's not a sanctuary. That describes an insane asylum. May I say this, an absolute breeding ground for our enemy. Amen? That allows the accessibility of that enemy that we're supposed to be sheltering from, yes? I just wonder, in this day and age, we see it probably more than comfortable with. Where so many homes have become a house of chaos, have become a house of contention, arguing and fighting, loud noises and yelling and screaming at each other, contention and fighting and discord. Remember, we're children of the living God. He would like our homes to be a place of refuge, a refuge shelter. So first and foremost, we can identify that. But secondly, listen to me, is your home a relationship sanctuary? I said a relationship sanctuary. A sanctuary is a sacred place, a place of protection. Yes? Now follow me for a second, folks. My home is to be a refuge shelter from the world, but in that refuge from the world, I ought to be able to find a sanctuary for my relationships as well. Now what do I mean by that? The book of Proverbs tells us in two places, in 21:9, tells us it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now we kind of smirk a little bit, laugh a little bit about it, but think about it. Tells us in Proverbs 25:24, much the same. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That doesn't lay the blame on you, ladies. What's God talking about? He's talking about a home of chaos. He's talking about a home of contention. He's talking about a home of constantly brawling and screaming and yelling and fighting with each other. Is this our sanctuary? The book of 1 Peter tells us, men, listen, because we're in this too. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Gentlemen, does my wife see our relationship in our home and the manner in which I treat her in our home? Does she see that as giving honor unto her? Does she see that as appreciation, dedication? Do you realize what that is instructing us? Do you understand, men, what that's instructing us to do? Create a sanctuary for a relationship one with another in our homes. I mean, you ladies, it's often said, and rightfully so, you're the keeper of the home. Gentlemen, we are to direct and guide our homes in leadership. But ladies, listen, I think anyone would attribute the fact of the truth. Okay? Without a precious lady in a home is rarely a home. It's many times just a house. Why? Because there's something that is contributive that a lady brings to a home that no one else can substitute. God bless a godly lady that is a keeper of a home. An amazing, important job and position. One of honor, one of praise. I know we live in a world, we live in a society, it's all about careers, and it's all about, you know, stepping up the ladder. It's all about what you can gain in the corporate world, in the corporate life. But friend, listen, ladies, please hear me. Your most important responsibility, as well as job and joy before God Almighty, is your home, your children, your husband, your family. Don't let the world steal that from you. That's a position, that's a place of honor. That's a place, that's a position of uplifting. That's a place and a position that you and you alone are able to fill and none other could ever substitute. However, when your home becomes, when your husband comes home from a hard day's work, does he walk into a distraught over the children's behavior? A broken dishwasher, a light bill that still needs to be paid, and lack of time you had to cook any kind of a meal so you all could sit down to eat together as a family? I mean, is that what he's bombarded with the moment he walks in the door? Doesn't make for much of a refuge, does it? You say, yeah, but preacher, I've been locked up all day long in the house dwelling with these problems on my own, and I've had it. I'm stressed out. The husband is, he's there for me to vent on. That's a hard understanding of what you feel a relationship is in a home. Ladies, that's not my understanding of a sanctuary of your relationship. Ma'am, when's the last time you took maybe a half an hour or so prior to your husband coming home? You went, you took a shower, you got a little dolled up, like you're going out to a fancy meal. For no other reason simply than to meet him at the doorway with a big wet kiss and a long hug and say, welcome home, baby. Enter into your refuge shelter. Enter into our sanctuary of our marriage relationship. Now, I'm looking about and you're kind of smirking a little bit and you're laughing, but watch this. You say, preacher, there's no time for that. I know. And many times they're the same couples that are sat across from me in my office with your marriage on the rocks, saying things like, you know, I just don't feel like I love them anymore. Why? Because we're not willing to be silly in love anymore together. Are you listening, church? It's a refuge. It's a sanctuary. It's a place in which you retreat to. We ought to be able to not just retreat to the environment, but we ought to be able to retreat to the relationships as well. Listen to me, sir, ma'am. Marriage is work. Amen. Marriage is work, a continual work. And when you do not work at it, it will become weak. Men, do you bring your work home with you? When you have an argument with one of your coworkers or boss, does your wife take the brunt of the blow of all that? Does she have to sit and listen to you whine for hours about your job and how difficult you have to simply do your God-given responsibility and care for your family? Is that what she has to listen to when you come home? Remember, we're entering into our sanctuary, but lest we forget, it's her sanctuary as well. You can say amen, it's okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It's quite a responsibility, gentlemen. Do we hold it with honor and effort? Is that giving honor to your wife onto the weaker vessel when we don't? I mean, come on, gentlemen. Sometimes we just need to man up. Had a tough day. Things didn't go well. Everything kind of fell apart. I've been frustrated. I've even been angered throughout the day. And I walk home and listen, is that what my family receives? Or am I able to leave that at the door because I'm entering into, watch this, my home, not just a house. I'm entering into my sanctuary. I'm entering into my refuge. And the chaos of life and the content of the world that can stay outside. Because I don't want to open the doorway for the enemy to be able to get inside. Amen. The place you work hard to provide for is to be a sanctuary. That's a sacred place. A place of protection for the relationship that you hold. It's supposed to be the very reason you go to work in the first place, yes? I mean, why do you go to work? To provide for your family. One of the main essence of that providing is to what? Provide a home for them to dwell in. Amen. Friend, I could literally go on and on concerning this area of topic. I mean, there is literally so much that can be in all truthfulness that I would want to say. I mean, some of us need to complete reevaluation of what the word marriage and spouse even means. Our home is supposed to be a place that fuels that love, that fuels that passion, that fuels that unity. And it ought to be recognizable when not just those whom we know and are acquainted with enter in, but it ought to be a place where we ourselves together are also able to recognize when we enter in. A place that at the end of the day, listen, we want to run to. A place at the end of the day that I'm starving to get to. A place at the end of the day while the world beat up on me, I can retreat to. Not a place of fighting, bickering, contention, disagreement. We live in a day and age where many times both parents are working. Gentlemen, if that be the case, am I doing my part to create that refuge shelter, that relationship sanctuary for my wife? Or does she make her drive home at the end of the day thinking about walking into a dirty house because nobody can pick up after themselves? Dirty dishes in the sink because nobody can pick up a sponge or a dishcloth. Okay? Well, you know, doing dishes, that's not a man's job. Boy, that would make for a real good home, wouldn't it? The kids running through the house in total chaos and disruption because you wanted to check out the ball game that you missed watching Sunday rather than to help mom because she'll be home in 45 minutes and she may have had a hard day too. Amen. I mean, I know that I'm looking in your faces and you're looking with me, at me with affirmation. You're saying, yeah, you know, he's making a lot of points here. But it's awful quiet. Amen. Our homes are not houses of shelter. Our homes are places of refuge. Our homes are places that we are to strive together, that we are to dwell together, that we are to, watch this, lean on each other, that we are to find that sanctuary and that refuge of. Not a place that's a roof over my head. We're children of the living God. Our homes ought to display it. So we've covered just the basics, a refuge, shelter, a relationship, sanctuary. But for the sake of time, and I close with this, a restoration of security. I said a restoration of security. Mama, Daddy. And listen, I don't care if you have children at home. I don't care if the children are gone and you have an empty nest. I don't care if you're a single individual. This is your home. This is your sanctuary. This is your place of dwelling. This is your retreat. You know what creating that refuge shelter, that relationship sanctuary instows? Security. Security. My home ought to be a place of safety. Safety from the rudiments of the world. Safety from the wiles of the devil. Safety from the bully that picks on me at school. Our children ought to feel safe when they come home. Our wives, men, they ought to feel safe as they dwell in our home. We, men, We ought to be able to feel safe in our home. Whatever extent, if you will, we need to go to create that safety so that we can have that sanctuary. You say, hey, well, how do we get that feeling in my home, preacher? A walk with God. I said a walk with God. There's no other greater element that you will implement in your home or in your life for the security of you and your family than a walk with the living Savior. A home built and standing as well as practicing and on the principles of an almighty God who protects us and our home from those outside invasions. There are far too many doors we are willing to open for the enemy to enter in. Hey, the television for starters. I mean, friend, we need to learn to get that wicked smut and violence, sex and adultery, fornication, disrespect off of the stinking programming box that sets in our living rooms before our children. Amen. What, for the love of God and the Son of the living God, is wrong with us? We're looking for a babysitter, if you will. So we set them down and we let them have total control of whatever they would like. And they snap on violence and they snap on, you know, literally just garbage that feeds into their minds as we're content doing something else, not even paying attention. Do you realize you just opened the doorway for the enemy? We want to beat our kids and ground them for a month when they disrespect or disobey us, but yet we'll feed them with programmable junk that through that stinking babysitter we call television, full of a bunch of disrespectful and ungodly kids and their actions, and we call family programming. Somebody say amen. You know it's true. I mean, what are we doing with our children, church? This is our homes. It's their homes. It's supposed to be a place of security from allowing the enemy into. Yet we are daily opening the door wide open for him to enter in. What are we doing? Because, hey, I'm busy and it gets the kids out of my hair for a while. God help us, for we know not what we do. Folks, our homes are meant to be a refuge shelter, a relationship sanctuary, a place to restore the security the world stole from us that day. I walk into houses of all walks of life, and it's chaos by the bucket load. You walk away from many times homes, and you think to yourself, how do people live this way? Doesn't matter how big your house is. Doesn't matter how much money your house cost. Do you understand that's not what makes a home? What makes a home is what happens inside. And who makes it happen inside? Folks, our homes, again, are meant to be that refuge shelter, that restoration of that security. Where is their refuge, their sweetness of relationship, their place to get recharged and feel secure? Is that what you feel when you go home? Is that what your family feels as they reside and dwell in your home? Many times the infant's screaming, the children are fighting over who gets to watch what on television, the dog's barking because the kids are fighting. The house is filthy, the dishes are not done, there's laundry laying all over the floor, the teenager's stoned because he's in his bedroom, because listen, you know, it's illegal in most states now. The sister's, you know, 5 months pregnant, vaping as she lays on the couch, mama's sitting in the kitchen table smoking a cigarette, and daddy's sleeping because he was out late night drinking the night before, and he just got the welfare check in the mail yesterday. And this is home. No, friend, that's a house. I'm not trying to be unkind this morning. That's a house. A home is much different. A home is a place where we let God in. A home is a place in which God controls. A home is a place in which when we retreat to it, we can sense and we can feel the Spirit of God there. A home is a sanctuary and a serenity place in which we're able to walk with God. Display God. Talk with God. And watch this. Feel secure because of God. Is your home a house? Or is your house a home? Church, we are God's people. As I look about the room, and I don't know all of your testimonies, but if you are a born-again believer in what Jesus Christ has done for you upon the cross of Calvary, while he paid a price or a penalty in which you owed for your sin that would separate you from God Almighty for all of eternity, and you have accepted that upon his merit for your own, then you are a born-again believer as a child of the living God. Does the place in which you dwell display that? Can your children feel that? Hey, we're nothing and this isn't about me. I'm not trying to draw attention to me, but there's a reason when my children came home and they'd sit down on our sofa or our chair, they'd take a deep breath and they'd say, it's good to be home. Why? Because we worked hard to create an environment, a place of security, a place of serenity, a place of securement, a place of peaceability, a place of serenity. Is God able to anoint your home because he sees his principles being applied throughout it? We will never have a strong church if we do not have strong homes. And friend, you will never have a strong home unless you have a strong church to stand with. God intended them to work together. You hear what I said? God intended them to work together. Friend, a house is simply not going to ever be enough. But any house can be made a home. A house is made of walls and beams. A home is made of love and dreams. Home is where everyone comes to respite and rest. But if a home environment does not provide that love that we all need, and many times we will seek it elsewhere. Is your house a home? Is your home? Sure, it's a dwelling place in which we reside, but it's a home because of what we make it inside. Amen. House of havoc or a healthy heavenly home. Which do you have this morning? And if not, why not? Because the availability is before us. You realize I can have a home, doesn't matter how much money I make, doesn't matter what my profession is, doesn't matter where I live, doesn't matter where it is. My home can be everything that I choose to make it. And house can be anything that I choose to make a home thereof. Amen. If we stand to our feet this morning, is your home a refuge shelter? Is it a relationship sanctuary? Is it a restoration of security? here at Heritage Baptist Church as our piano makes her way to the piano, our piano player makes her way to the piano this morning. We take a time to have what we call an invitation. What's an invitation? The time when we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we take time to meditate, and hopefully, if I've done my job at least somewhat sufficiently, hopefully you're saying to yourself and you are our Lord, God, what do you want me to do with what I've just heard? Lord, there's a reason you've laid this upon this man's heart. What would you have me to do with what I've just heard? And sometimes the direction, the guidance, and the emotion is compelling enough to where we say, I just want to pray to my Father in heaven. I just want to talk to my Lord. And we open up what we call our altar down here front, where you can come and you can kneel and you can speak to God and you can allow the Spirit of the living God to do that which I'm unable to do, nor would I ever try to. Only God can do what God does. But if he's spoken to your heart this morning as the piano begins to play, we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If the Holy Spirit of God's nudging on your heart, saying, hey, we need to talk. What's your home like? What's that structure of a house? Is it a home? Is it a refuge? Is it a place of retreat? Is it a sanctuary? Or is it because of the chaos and the confusion of the world and the running and the activity and the constant never slowing down, all of a sudden we've allowed our home, our sanctuary, our refuge to become that. And there's no place to retreat to. Friend, listen to me. This is why people go into depression. This is some of the reasons why people get discouraged. This is part of the reasons why people have lack of vision. Because there's no serenity to retreat to. It's a place of refuge. Hey, as you stand this morning, let me ask you a question. I'd not be much of a preacher if I'd not. Has there ever been a time when the Holy Spirit of God convicted your soul about where and when you'll spend eternity? Has there ever been a time where you wondered, what takes place after I draw my last breath? What does happen to the soul? We know the body goes in the ground, but if I understand logic, I'm a Trinity. I have a body, sure, that goes into the ground. That's flesh, but I have a soul and a spirit. Where does that soul go for all of eternity? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. What does that mean? There's a judgment between whether or not I spend it with God Almighty in a place called heaven, or a literal place of anguish we know as hell. They just made the statement last evening. Friend, you'll never convince me this side of heaven that God sat down one day and decided he was going to create the most gruesome, the most anguishable, the most terrible, the most frustrating place that you could ever imagine, the place in which is gnashing of teeth and there's torment day and night. And God said, I'm going to make this place so fierce so I can send people who do not believe in me there. Ladies and gentlemen, God didn't create hell to become that. Hell is a place of separation from God. And we're in a place where God does not exist. That's what becomes of it. Anguish, torment, agony. That's a result of a place where God does not dwell. Friend, God never sent anybody to hell. Do you understand? We were born sinners. We were literally born naturally that way. I've got to do something about my sin because the cost of my sin is that it separates me from the living God. Every individual that has ever given birth or breath of life has to do something about their sin. Because it is my sin that separates me. That place of separation is a place we call hell. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's tangible. Yes, it's everlasting. But God loved you so much and he did not want you to need to go there. So he sent his only blessed begotten son upon the cross of Calvary over those 3 hours of darkness. He endured that separation from God the Father and the Holy Ghost of God to pay the price that I deserved. And he's hung there in anguish and torment as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost and the Trinity was broken and they left him. Why? Because that was the price of my sin. Can you take me to the place where you've put your trust in that? So that you wouldn't have to pay that penalty, but you allow him to do so? That's what salvation is, friend. Salvation from that place of separation from God. Salvation from that place called hell. Why? Because I'm already destined there. And without Jesus, that is where I will go. Can you take me to a place? Can you take me to a time in which you accepted what Jesus Christ did for you and allowed him to become your Lord and Savior? Are you saved from hell today? If you're here this morning and what I'm speaking of is nervousing to you, you're standing with just a little bit of uncomfortability, you have some questions, please don't let this day pass. Please don't spend another day in doubt. Ask. I'd love to take the Word of God and show you what God says about how we can know. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I given unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Friend, if you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, you'd be willing to say, "Preacher, what you're talking about making me a little nervous. I'm not certain if I died today I'd go to heaven. And that's something I'd really like to learn more about." Would you be willing to slip up your hand just high enough for me to see it? I'd love the opportunity to talk to you. Love the opportunity to share with you the peace of knowing where your destiny is when you draw your last breath here. Salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll be here. If anyone has questions, concerns, or doubts. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time today. I pray as we take just a few moments, Father, to speak about our homes, our place of refuge, our place of retreat, our place of serenity. Lord God Almighty, may we allow your peace, your guidance, through a walk with you to create, Lord God, that sanctuary. Almost seclusion, Lord God, from the world about, and the chaos and the confusion which lurk thereabout. Father, may it be a secure place in which we keep the enemy out and the love within. Lord, bless us this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.